Alrighty.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 266, as always, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on at StudentUnionSports.com, from the daily blogs to the podcast and everything else in between. The whole crew is here tonight. Al Nahegan, Tom Powder, Cadmus, Maddie Burnett. Guys, how are we doing, first of all, on this Thursday night?
Doing great. It's MLB opening day. Happy MLB opening day, everybody who celebrates.
Yeah, I feel like this is your second Christmas, Powder.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Because you are, and I mean this in obviously the best of ways, you are a baseball diehard. Now, I am too.
Yep.
But, like, I love the Patriots, and I know you do too, but, like, I love all the sports, like the Celtics, and I'll watch the Bruins and stuff like that. But you're like, baseball is far and away number one, like, not even close. So I feel like this is like a holiday for you, like a national holiday.
Yes, definitely. I would agree.
Maddie Burnett with us too. Hi, Maddie.
Top of the afternoon to your laddies.
Maddie's doing that as he's wearing his Ireland. Is that just a winter hat, or is that like a...
It's a hat my brother got for me when he went to Ireland this fall.
Okay. I like that. Looks good on
it. It's the first hat I saw, so I was like, all right, this is going on my head today. I wore my Red Sox one to work. I don't know where the hell I put it when I got home. So it's somewhere over there.
So, again, as Powder said, happy opening day to everybody. Obviously, by the time this podcast is out, it will be past opening day, but we are recording on opening day. So we have not seen the Red Sox yet, but we will talk about the Red Sox. A little bit of a programming note, a couple programming notes. Number one, we will be recording on Thursday nights going forward, as opposed to Wednesday nights that we have recently been doing. Shout out to our social team, Liam Smith and everybody else at Student Union Sports. We do a great job getting our episodes out. They may have to get them out a little earlier just because we're recording later. So hopefully they'll be great about that, as they always are, and I'm sure they will be. So again, we record on Thursday nights. The episodes will hopefully come out ASAP when we do them. So just a little programming note there. Also, second program note, we were going to have a surprise this week. Surprise didn't work out because of some scheduling conflicts. We're going to postpone it for another date. And when it comes, we will announce it. We're not going to announce it just yet. All right, let's get into it, though, guys, because, again, it is MLB opening day, so it feels like this should be a big baseball episode. And what better way to start off our MLB opening day podcast than by talking about a guy that signed a huge contract and could lose it all because his interpreter might have made a couple bets. So, Powder, do you want to lay out the foundation for us, tell us the story about what's going on in the MLB with one of the biggest stars?
Yeah. Yeah, so last week, news broke that Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe, was found to be illegally betting in California. He was betting through an illegal bookie, and he amounted a debt of over $4.5 million that Shohei ended up paying the debt through his account. There were two different wire transfers under Ohtani's name that went to the legal bookie, and the timeline basically just started that they met in a poker game. I believe it was in 2021. Ipe and this illegal bookie, and Ipe started betting on non-baseball stuff. He was admitted to be a soccer fan, but he bet on different sports, not anything baseball, and amounts of debt of over $4.5 million that Shohei ended up paying to get his longtime friend out of debt. And now there's a lot of different things going back and forth, whether it was actually Shohei putting the bets in and Ipe just taking the fall for it, or actually was Ipe. And at first, when there's a couple different stories that have came out. The first story was that Shohei did pay back the $4.5 million, but then there are other rumors going around that Ipe stole memorabilia that totaled the $4.5 million from Shohei, and a lot of people are speculating the reason they're saying he stole this stuff was because they don't want to get Shohei in trouble with the league or anything for betting illegally, that could lose him all of his $700 million contract that he just signed this past offseason.
So that's just kind of a breakdown of the whole situation. So basically, again, if you're a too long, don't read, or too long, don't listen type of person, Shohei Ohtani getting dragged through the mud for supposedly making some bets through his interpreter. So, and the interpreter taking money, it's a whole thing. Again, just listen to Powder's description because it was spot on. Opening take on this, it's kind of interesting, the timing of it, right? Right before the season, Shohei Ohtani signs a huge contract with the Dodgers. Obviously, a lot of it was deferred money. So later on in Shohei Ohtani's career, he's going to be making bank when he can't throw or hit a baseball anymore. He's still going to be making hundreds of millions of dollars. But then it's also, think about it, what is the biggest betting time of the year? It's March Madness, which is going on right now. So the fact that it's March Madness, just signed the contract, we just started opening day today, and they're coming out with this. I don't know, the timing of it and the validity of it is a little bit skeptical to me. But also, if Shohei Ohtani actually made bets, why are you doing that when you just signed a huge-ass contract? And, by the way, your New Balance is cover boy, pretty much. Like, all the commercials, you've seen the New Balance commercials where Shohei Ohtani is like, New Balance, we have next. And he's making millions of dollars off that, too. So what's the need? Like, if your friend wants to bet, if your interpreter wants to bet, let him use his own money. But if, too, the interpreter actually stole $4.5 million or whatever the amount was, that's pretty low too. Like that's a scumbag move. That's a bad move in general. So that's just kind of my thoughts on everything. I want to go to Maddie because I haven't heard from Maddie yet. And then Powder, if you want to, you know, initiate some dialogue with that kind of conversation as well. Maddie, what are your thoughts on this whole Ohtani betting situation?
He's gambling. It's him. He did not get robbed $4.5 million. No, he definitely is betting it, and then he definitely paid his translator to take the fall for him. He definitely paid it out. There's definitely some hush money being thrown around. It is so damn obvious that he is placing bets. How come Ohtani suddenly randomly showed up to a random March Madness game before? And then we haven't really seen him at any other game really since then. Maybe a couple here and there. But it's like, dude, you obviously are betting. Like, you're caught. And the MLB's probably thinking, oh, shit, our golden boy's caught. What do we do? You're caught. It's so obvious. This was him gambling. That's my thoughts on this.
So if he was, and I tend to agree with you, Maddie, because, again, the timing of it's just so weird. And it's like, why do it? What is the appropriate punishment for Ohtani? That's the question. Because think about this, just cross sports for a second.
I don't think you need to Pete Rose him. Just because he wasn't betting on baseball.
But
I think, you know, suspension of some kind.
A lot of really people were talking.
Really set a precedent. To really set a precedent, if you don't want any of other baseball players betting on any other sport, I think to set a precedent, okay, suspended without pay for a year. See you later.
So here's the thing. I don't think they're going to suspend for a year because that would be way too harsh for the game and it takes away revenue and everything. I can see them suspending him for half the season.
That's a slap on the wrist.
Getting a fine and getting a huge fine, because if it was, and I'm just going to use a random example, if it was like Jake Berger from, I think he's on Miami now. If it was like Jake Berger, he'd be suspended for at least a year, maybe even 2 years. But because it's Shohei Ohtani, and I'm not condoning it, I'm just
he
saying.
He shouldn't get special treatment because he's Shohei.
He shouldn't. You're right.
He shouldn't, but he will.
Is.
He would.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's the one, like you said, Al, he's bringing so much revenue for Major League Baseball. That $700 million contract they signed with the Dodgers are going to make 2 to 3 times that in the length of his contract, with the Japanese market pretty much alone coming over and watching Dodger baseball. And that's just revenue for the whole MLB, too. So it's, I can see them giving him special treatment just because of who he is. Like, it's stupid and being a baseball, like, if they're going to give him special treatment, there's no reason Pete Rose should be not in the Hall of Fame at this point. Now, if they're going to give Shohei this treatment that he doesn't even get in trouble, he just gets a slap on the wrist.
I know, and it's honestly ridiculous. The fact that he's probably going to get a slap on the wrist, it's just not going to be sending a good message. But again, are you willing to risk not slapping him on the wrist, giving him the punishment he does deserve, which is probably, like Maddie said, at least a year suspension without pay? In return, you're losing out on all that revenue with jersey sales and ticket sales to the Dodger games and everything else too. It's a slippery slope, but I'm on the team of he should be suspended in one way, shape, or form. If it's half the season, fine. If it's 100 and something games, fine. If it's a full season, great. But he has to be punished in some way. And obviously he's not yet, because he played opening day. I think he had a double in his first at bat for the Dodgers. So you better suspend him really, really soon to send that message.
And if anything, too, if I can just add another thing in. Yeah. With the Japanese market specifically, let's say Ohtani does get suspended for the year, maybe. All right, the Japanese, you know, the market might take a hit and stuff like that when it comes to tickets. You still got Yamamoto on that team. Sure, he doesn't hit. Still an amazing pitcher. There's going to be people who want to go see him pitch after what he did in the World Baseball Classic a few years ago.
Right, 100%.
Like, they're gonna make so much money, even if Ohtani's out for the year with a suspension. They're gonna make so much off of Yamamoto now. Now all of a sudden, he's gonna become the face of that franchise for a year.
This situation just reeks of just
Just
don't bet. Simple as that. Don't bet.
You're making enough money. Why do you need to bet?
Exactly. Betting's stupid, anyways.
Maddie. Gotta love you, buddy. Gotta love you. All right. Anything else on the Ohtani situation? Powders, is there anything you wanted to add about it before we get into some Red Sox talk?
Nah, I think we covered most everything with it. So I think we're good to move on.
Powders, ready to talk some Sox.
All right. Real quick, with the Red Sox, this is semi-Red Sox related, but also not. Jordan Montgomery has finally found his team for 2024. No, it is not the Boston Red Sox. It is the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's basically a one-year deal, $25 million, I believe, with a vesting option for 2025, if I'm not mistaken.
He can opt out if he makes at least 10 starts.
Okay, so he can opt out of the deal after a year if he starts saying, okay, good enough.
Good, unless his elbow blows up in 2 months into the season.
Right. So I'm not disappointed that Jordan Montgomery's not a Red Sox, because I think you saw the writing on the wall, right? They weren't going to spend. They're not going to spend. They're just doing it essentially within the organization. They just want to develop, draft and develop, draft and develop, draft and develop. At some point, though, you're going to have to make a big splash. My question is, when are you going to do it? Because it wasn't this offseason. It doesn't look like it's going to be next offseason. Are you going to wait really for the likes of Rodon Anthony and Marcelo Mayer and Kyle Teal to be ready, along with guys like Devers and Zidane Rafaela and all these younger guys? If that's your plan, fine, but it's not going to – you're probably going to lose all your fans by then.
Yep.
But I don't want to harp on this. Again, it's just – we had talked all offseason about Jordan Montgomery. He would have been a great fit here, but obviously not going to end up being here. I don't know if you guys had any quick thoughts on that. Just Jordan Montgomery not being a Red Sox.
Doesn't surprise me with the way the Red Sox are being run right now. Even though it's a one-year, $25 million deal, why couldn't you? I was listening to Section 10 today, and I agree with them. Like, why couldn't you do a five-year, $100 million deal that's less AAV for a five-year deal, which that would bring you to about the time where everybody's going to be coming up, be ready, and then you have a guy. Because you need pitching. That's what you're going to need. You can't develop pitching for shit. And you definitely need, you just need someone like that in your rotation. And it's just sad that they can't sign him.
Maddie, anything?
You don't go to Arizona to play baseball. You go there because, oh, wow, that's money. I want that.
It also doesn't hurt that the Diamondbacks made the World Series last year. That definitely doesn't hurt it either. And Powder, oh, by the way, but don't worry, because we have this Andrew Bailey, you know, that's going to solve everything, right? Like, that's the solution to everything. But, all right, let's get into the actual Red Sox, because the Red Sox have a season coming up. They begin, as we're recording, on March 28th, which is a Thursday. They are opening up in Seattle against the Mariners. Brian Baio getting the start on opening day. And I'm just going to ask you guys kind of a vague question, and it's a two-parter, but we'll start with this. What are your realistic expectations for the Boston Red Sox this season? And it doesn't have to be necessarily wins and losses. It can be a player you're watching. It can be a group that you're really into, like the pitchers or the defense, whatever. What are your realistic expectations for this Red Sox team in 2020?
I mean, I think Tristan Casas is going to keep going the way he finished his second half of the year. And I think he's going to get MVP votes this year. I don't think he's going to be like a top five finisher, but I think he's going to get MVP votes where he's maybe a top 10 guy or top 12 guy MVP votes. I just think he's going to truly become one of the best hitters in the league.
Okay. So Powder's on the Tristan Casas train. Maddie?
I want to check out Masataka Yoshida. You know, there was a lot of hype about him last year. And at times he lived up to it. At times he did not live up to it. He's got a full year under his belt now being in the MLB. All right, we've got to step things up for year two now. I want to see what has he been doing in the offseason to improve himself as a player. It's as simple as that.
Okay, so Yoshida is a guy that Maddie's looking to kind of take a look at, and I had him in mind, but one group that I'm going to be interested in seeing is the bullpen this year. The bullpen was a strength of this Red Sox team in 2023, even though they didn't really do well. My question is, how are they going to look when Chris Martin and Kenley Jansen are no longer on this team? Because I think they're going to get traded at the deadline if they have that good of a year, because they're veterans, they're older, they have expiring contracts, and I think they're going to end up with a contender. So after they leave, what is this bullpen going to look like? Especially that back end of the bullpen, which is something we complained about for about 2-3 years. So I'm going to be interested to see how they do in the first half, and especially if and when Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin are no longer a part of this Red Sox team. So that's the big thing for me. Do we want to even put a win total? How many wins we think they get? Because I have my number in mind, but it's not great.
If they weren't in this division, I would say they would have a better chance of getting closer to the 500 win mark, but I want to say 78.
Guys, you got 78 and 84. I got 70 and 92. I think it's going to be, that's the type of season I think it's going to be. I think that, yeah, they're improving defensively, and yeah, you know, they have some young pieces in place, but guess what? At the end of the day, you need more talent than what they have in this roster. And because they're in that division with the Yankees and the Rays and the Jays and those Orioles, I mean, it's going to be tough to win those games. And then you got to play the rest of the MLB. So you're going to have to still play good teams. You're going to have to play the Astros. Eventually, you're going to have to play the Diamondbacks. You're going to have to play teams, like the Braves and the Phillies. And those are tough matchups. And those are matchups that you don't want to go into, especially if your pitching rotation isn't set up the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
So I got 70 and 92. I don't think it's going to be, I think it's going to be an ugly, ugly season. Maddie, what do you have?
I got him at 64 wins. This is going to be brutal.
Wow, and I thought I was being hard.
Here's the thing. When you think of like all the like bad teams in the MLB, they're still like one of the better bad teams, but they're still bad. That's the thing. They're going to win 64 this year. I'm looking ahead to their schedule. They got a rough June this year. Their June schedule, it's not easy. That's probably gonna be the brunt of it right there. I mean, I'm live looking at July, and I'm like, oh dear God. Well, July actually looks easy until, you know, we go to goddamn LA to play the Dodgers. And, you know, I can't bet on the fact if Otani's gonna be there or not. So yeah.
Right.
June, I don't know, Powder, if you're looking at their June schedule.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
Yeah, rough. Obviously, The two games against Detroit shouldn't be the worst, but then Braves, White Sox, that might be, but then Phillies, Yankees, Blue Jays, Reds, depending on if they can keep how they were last year, they improved a little bit, and that could be tough one. Then Blue Jays again, then Padres, that's not easy.
That's a rough June right there.
You might have two winnable series in all of June.
Mm-hmm. You might win a total of like six games in June. That's how bad June I think is going to be.
It's not much easier. They have the Royals, the A's, and the Rockies. But besides that, that's Dodgers. They have Yankees. They have Mariners.
And by the way, that Royals team is improving, and they're making moves. So they're not a rollover anymore either. Let me guys ask you this real quick, and then we'll kind of touch on some other things here that aren't baseball related. What is one bold prediction you have for the Red Sox or just any member on the Red Sox this year? Like for me, I think my bold prediction, Brian Bello is going to pitch well enough to be at least entered into the Cy Young conversation. That's my bold prediction.
Matt, do you want to go?
Bold. I mean, I don't know how bold this is. Can I give two of them? Because I don't know how bold this first one is.
Let's hear the first one.
Alex Cora does not finish this season with the Red Sox.
Okay, what's your second one?
Tristan Casas hits 40 home runs.
That's bold. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one a lot. And yeah, with Cora, I think the writing is on the wall.
That's why I was like, not bold.
What would be bold is if they got rid of them like before the All-Star break. That would be bold.
I think if June goes as bad as I think it does, I think maybe they pull the plug on him there.
Yeah.
Okay. Powder?
I'm going to say Trevor Story makes an All-Star game.
Ooh.
There's a big bounce back here.
I like it a lot. All right. Okay. Any other Red Sox or baseball talk that we want to get out there before we talk about some other things?
I got nothing. Just going to be excited to finally watch baseball again.
Baseball is back. And if you choose to actually make some bets, make sure to bet responsibly. Yeah, always bet responsibly.
Well, I got one thing.
What do you got?
What's our World Series prediction, boys? It's opening day.
Oof. I'm going to go Braves, Orioles.
You don't think the Dodgers make it year one?
Nope. I think because they choke every year in the playoffs, I think they're going to find a way to do it again. Give me Braves, Orioles.
Powder, what do we got?
I was going to do Braves, Orioles. I'll do Orioles, Phillies.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I have Orioles winning it.
I feel like that's the World Series everybody wanted last year.
Yeah.
I got, just to be different, I'm going to go Dodgers and, you know what? Yeah. Let's have fun with this. Battle of the Blue Teams. Dodgers, Blue Jays. Let's have fun with that.
Ooh, okay.
I think listen, Toronto, they've always been a good team that needs one or two more players to get over the hump.
Yeah.
So just to recap, Maddie has the Battle of the Blues, Dodgers versus Blue Jays, Potter has Phillies versus Orioles, and I have Braves versus Orioles.
I can't wait for all three of us to somehow be wrong.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
I can't wait for it to be like... Something stupid like what it was last year. Yeah.
Like Twins, Marlins, or something like that.
I can't wait for it to be like the Mariners and like the Cubs. I can't wait for something stupid like that.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing the Mariners in the World Series just because they've been there. But that would be like the Diamondbacks making it this past year. Like no one saw it coming.
No, and they're not going to do it again.
And baseball is the one sport where it truly is random who makes it. Like, the past 2 years, the sixth seed has made it to the World Series. They've lost, but they've made it.
They've made it.
The Phillies 2022, and then the Diamondbacks 2023.
Just get into the dance. That's what they tell you, right? Get into the dance, into the tournament, see what happens.
Exactly.
All right. Let's switch gears a little bit. Before we get into like football and everything, real quick, did you guys fill out brackets for March Madness? Maddie, I know you did. Power, did you fill out a bracket?
Yeah, just one on ESPN, but I have not watched a second of college basketball. So
how do your brackets look?
I mean, I picked.
Let me crack open the tournament app, as I haven't looked at it since the weekend.
I picked Houston to win it, so I mean, there's that.
Yeah, I got UConn in mine. I think I'm in fifth in my little competition, but
let's see my money bracket. I'm not doing. I have it 74% correct. I do. The problem is I'm in 31st place, which is out of 101 people, so not bad. And then the small states big takes group, which is a very important group. I'm in 16th.
Wow, big cap.
Yeah, but to be fair, like people can enter like multiple brackets. So like I have other brackets in there too that just aren't doing well. Okay. One of my champions is out in that because I picked Auburn, thinking, oh, maybe they could do it. And then you know, Princeton showed them what a dictionary is, and they're like, oh, what's this? And while that was happening, Yale was scoring all these points.
All right. So there's a little college basketball update. We will probably talk a little more next week about who we think will actually win the whole thing.
Yep.
But for right now.
Sweet 16 is going on right now. Literally right now. Just started.
That's right. Maddie, you had a couple things football related. You wanted to talk about the Patriots. So why don't
you need that discussion? So Dynasty happened. I think, you know, Al, you, me, and Sarah Marshall talked about that last week.
Make sure you go check out that episode if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, that was a fun episode. Powder, you missed out. You missed out. You missed the three of us flip out at something, which was hilarious.
I'll listen to it over the weekend.
Oh, boy. All right. So Robert Kraft came out and said he's really disappointed with how the dynasty came out. He's upset that it focused a lot on the negativity, and that he's upset that it glossed over the two Super Bowl wins and, you know, like other stuff as well that happened. And he also said that there were players in there that they interviewed that never even aired, and they got edited out. I'm wondering, okay, who the hell were they now? Another thing that I'm immediately thinking about too is at the end of each episode, it does say, like, Kraft Entertainment or whatever. Like, he had to sign off on it. He surely had to see some of this coming. Like, he's playing dumb to the media, I think. So I'm just wondering, you know, I guess mainly Al, I guess, because I know you've watched the Powder. I'm not sure if you've
I haven't yet. I'm going to at some point.
I'm just wondering, you know, what are our thoughts? You think Robert Kraft's just playing to the media here, or do you think he's actually genuine?
I think he's trying to be genuine, but I think he also knows deep down that, like you said, Maddie, he signed off it. He knew exactly what was going into it, and he knew what the message was. The message was, don't make him look like the bad guy. Don't make him look like the guy that, you know, wanted the dynasty to end, wanted to get rid of Brady and everything else, which I don't think he did. But at the same time, you could have done a better job of actually making sure that the teams that did win, like the 03 and 04 teams, got more shine. Because they should, because they were the reason that you had the first dynasty, 3 and 4 years. Then obviously you had the second part of the dynasty, which was 3 and 5 years. But guess what? You highlighted the 2017 season. Shouldn't you have highlighted more of like that 2014 season instead of just spending the whole time on the Deflategate and then just fast forwarding through? I thought that season could have gotten a little bit more in detail. But
well, the Deflategate was the 2016 one.
Oh, sorry. That's right.
That's when Brady came back from his suspension. But 2014, that was the lead up to it and all that.
Right. No, that's true. That's fair. So allow me to correct that. When it started, like even the whole 2014 season itself was a really good season.
It was.
It was a really fun season. And again, it was the first Super Bowl they had won in 10 years. So it's like, why doesn't that get more love? But anyways, to go back to
More emphasis on that. Because I think the documentary was good. It was a good documentary. It was. It's just, I think it missed the mark in some places.
I think it did too. Like, I guess I compare it to like The Last Dance, the Bulls documentary. Like that one I thought was great. Like that really was well detailed. They got pretty much everything that you wanted. They went through all the six championship years and make sure to get each of their those seasons the shine that they deserve. Well, yeah, they talked about Jordan through most of them because he was the star, rightfully so. But again, they did it, I thought, the right way. And I thought the Patriots should have done something kind of like that. But Robert Kraft, again, he's going to make himself look good first. He knows that he's the only face remaining of any part of the success that the Patriots had. So he's going to make sure that he still looks good because Belichick ain't here, Brady ain't here. So he's the one that has to now keep it together. So that's kind of where I'm at with Robert Kraft.
Bowder, any thoughts of someone who hasn't even watched the Dynasty yet?
I mean, from everything I've seen on social media and everything that I've heard you guys talk about, I know it's been, it wasn't what everybody thought it was going to be. I heard there's, obviously, listen to you guys, there's some good moments early in the series, but as the series goes on, it kind of disappoints you with what they did not talk about and what they did talk about. So I'm looking forward to watching it just to see what they talk about and everything like that. But from everything I've heard, it's not anything too crazy.
Right.
Next topic, Maddie.
Another piece of Patriots news that came out this week. Former running back, David Harris, he hung it up. He said, I'm done. Any memorable moments from Damian Harris? Any good ones, I should say?
I mean, the touchdown run in the snow game against Buffalo.
Yeah.
I think that was it. I think that was his best moment.
That was breaking his moment as a Patriot.
64 yards to the house. I mean,
yeah. It was the only touchdown in the game, I think, right?
It was. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I unfortunately have been there for some of his bad moments, but
yeah.
It's, you know, sad to see a young player retire, too, by the way. I hate seeing that. I think it's because of that neck injury that he got this past season in Buffalo. I think it was just, that was probably the leading factor into it. But, yeah, it's sad to see a young player have to retire early. But he'll be remembered, I think.
Yeah, it sucks because he missed the Super Bowl by 1 year. Exactly. In 19. That's the part that I think kind of sucks for him. But, you know, Damian Harris was, I thought he was going to be someone that the Patriots would have around for years to come. And the fact that he retired at age 27, like that's young. Like that's your guy's age. That's your guy's age. And now he has to find a whole other career to kind of do.
Yeah.
And I think he's set for life with the amount of money he made.
Probably. But again, like good for Damian Harris. It was short, but it was sweet to have him here. To go along with, what's the other one? Was it not Ramondre Stevenson? I know he played with Stevenson, but there was another running back that I think that, I think it might have been Rex Burkhead. I think Rex Burkhead was here for a couple of years.
Those two were together for a little bit.
Yeah, so I thought they were a good combination. But yeah, shout out to Damian Harris, man. An unforgotten forgotten about Patriot, I should say.
Powder, anything?
Nah, you guys kind of hit the nail on the head. He had a good tenure when he was here, but sucks to see him retire so young.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of young guys, you know, pro days are going on right now. There was two big ones that happened this week, North Carolina and LSU. LSU, we're mainly paying attention to Jaden Daniels. North Carolina, we're paying attention to Drake May. They were in North Carolina today. Thursday with Drake May. They met with him this morning for apparently a long time. Apparently it was a very lengthy meeting with him, which typically, like science typically kind of points to, hey, maybe they're really thinking about May at 3. But who knows? Because there's going to be so much smoke and mirrors for the next couple of weeks till the draft is actually here. He looked good at his pro day. He very much impressed all of the Patriots coaching staff. Is literally all of them are there. Then they were at LSU last night. And news broke about Jaden Daniels, the quarterback at LSU, saying that he has, I'm going to mispronounce this, Ocranon bursitz. It's there, we all have seen the viral photo by now with his elbow like this, essentially, and his elbow still going, but then his arm kind of cuts off, basically. Everyone thought this was an edited photo. It's not. It's real. It's disturbing to look at. It could be something where it's like, all right, pay attention to this. Is this going to potentially affect not only his draft stock, but his career? What do we think?
I think that if this is a serious thing where it could be a long-term risk, I don't love the idea of drafting Drake May, but if they're convinced on him, they're sold on him, they think he could be the guy, then I think you got to take him because Caleb Williams is going to be gone to Chicago at one. By the way, Brian Kelly, LSU coach, was talking today, and he let out a little slip about how, you know, Jaden Daniels could do this or that, and the last two words he said were for Washington. So even he thinks that Jaden Daniels is going to end up with the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if that's the case, if the Patriots are really sold on Drake May, then take him. I'm not going to love the pick right away, but they'll be convinced. Because I think, what are the other options? J.J. McCarthy, yeah, I know he's soaring up draft boards, but I don't see him being the future. I see him being a little better than Mac Jones, but that's the most. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix, forget it. Michael Penix, I mean, they haven't even really, you know, scratched the surface with Michael Penix yet. And as far as, like, you taking a look at him. So who do you go to? So I think with that, I think Drake May is going to be their guy. And I don't love it, but I think that's just the reality we have to live with, especially with the draft being in a couple of weeks. It's crazy to think that the draft's in a couple of weeks, too, by the way.
It is. Powder, what are we thinking here?
I agree with
you. Tell me what's going on in that big old sexy mind of yours.
I have to agree with Al with the Drake May stuff. I just think at this point now, he is the best choice for the Patriots. I think he's definitely stepped up from what the Patriots had last few years. I think that he's going to be a good quarterback, hopefully, for the future. And hopefully the Patriots can just get weapons. I think whoever the Patriots draft, I do think it's going to be Drake May at this point. It doesn't matter who they draft. They need to, at this point, get weapons around him because you can't do what you did to Mac Jones again. I don't care how good the quarterback is. Whoever we could draft Tom Brady 2.0, and you don't really put weapons around him, it's not going to work out well. So at this point, I'm more concerned about who they build the team, like how they build up the team around whoever they draft.
Mm-hmm. So there's one name that we haven't said yet. And his pro day was the other day, and there were very, very high winds, and he was throwing into the wind as if it was nothing. Threw an 80-yard bomb. Again, I know it's a pro day, but he threw an 80-yard bomb into the wind, into, like, gale-force winds that were, like, which is no matter who you are.
Your and boy.
It's Joe boy. Milton from Tennessee. Because here's what I think is the right thing to do. I think I figured it out. I think you need to address both the offensive line and the wide receiver. And as we talked about last week, it is impossible to have a rookie like tackle, wide receiver, and a quarterback and succeed. Impossible to do that. So why don't you take Joe Milton, not at three, before anyone says, whoa, 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 not at three. You take him fourth round because I think that's where he goes. Take him in the fourth round. You have Milton learn from Jacoby Brissett. I know Jacoby Brissett is the greatest quarterback in the world, but he knows how to succeed with the Patriots. He knows how to be a good quarterback in the NFL, I think. Have Jacoby Brissett teach the ways for Joe Milton. At three, I think go get Malik Nabers. Just go get him. Like, what are you doing? Go get him.
Over Marvin Harrison?
No. Do not get Marvin Harrison Jr. That sounds crazy to me to say that out loud, but do not get him at three. His work ethic scares me, because if he's upset about something, he's not gonna he's just not gonna participate. And also the fact that again he skipped out on two workouts that are very important throughout the draft process, and he's just solely relying on how he does on the field, and that's it alone. Like, dude, come on now. Anyways, you trade back into the first round. You trade that 34th overall pick. You know what? Maybe even trade a third pick. Get back in the first round and take one of those available linemen at the end of the first round.
Okay.
Then you get Joe Milton. And then you get Joe Milton in the fourth, but you don't start Joe Milton right away. You have Brissett really show him how to do everything.
You're starting to talk me into it a little bit, Matty.
Just saying. Because there will be an abundance of offensive linemen available at the end of the first round. There will be. Mark my words. There will be. Trade back up into the first round and go get one. You could trade with Baltimore at pick, what are they? I think they have 30. So pick 30. You could trade up with them. Hell, you could trade up with Carolina, one pick, and get somebody there.
All right. Anything else with the draft that you wanted to hit on?
Not now. Obviously, you know, we're a couple weeks away. So more stuff is really going to slowly start to come out, I think. Probably, you know, more pro day stuff. And also, like, you know, like every little possible thing is going to turn into a news story. Like, breaking news. Drake May wiped with his left hand today instead of his right hand. His right hand might be hurt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that.
Okay. So,
it's getting exciting, though. It's getting exciting. We're just a few weeks away. I'm getting excited. I have another mock draft coming out soon. So, I've been cooking on this one for a little bit.
We are looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing those mock drafts come out. We'll talk about the Celtics and the Bruins more next week because the Celtics and Bruins seasons are kind of wrapping up. And especially with the Celtics, since all three of us are Celtics fans, we'll talk about the playoffs and who we want for their matchups and everything. A little bit more next week in detail. Again, we wanted to celebrate baseball opening day, get some Patriot stuff in there, but I think we're pretty good on that front. Is there anything else at all that you guys want to talk about before we head out for the week?
I guess one thing I'll say, because we mentioned college basketball. It's cool seeing women's college basketball finally getting some recognition.
Yes.
It's getting more viewership than it is in the men's, and it's been more entertaining than the men's do as well. I will say that. Literally the other night, ESPN had UConn, Iowa, and USC on back to back to back. And it was very entertaining to watch all that. Lindsay and I, we were thoroughly entertained with Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark. Unfortunately, we fell asleep during the USC game, so we didn't get to see all of Juju Watkins, but we know she's pretty damn good, too.
Yeah. No, there's definitely some good players, like you said, Juju Watkins, Caitlin Clark, obviously. The girl from UConn, Paige Stubers, I think her name is.
Beckers.
What is it?
Beckers.
Beckers, sorry. Paige Beckers, sorry. But yeah, no, a lot of good players. A lot of really good players in the
world. Very entertaining tournament. Both of them have, really, but it's like growing up, it was like, I didn't really watch a lot of women's basketball growing up. Now, like, leaders at all. Like, I'm watching it, I'm like, damn, why didn't I watch this when I was younger?
Very true. We should have been watching it when we were younger, but we're watching now. So that's what matters. As always, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legend Single Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Lingo Legends. Make sure to follow everything on Student Union Sports on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and everywhere else where you can get Student Union Sports content. We will be back next week.
Hell yeah.
I think at that point, we're going to be about 2 weeks away from the NFL draft.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. So as always, that is Tom Pavlikatis. That is Matty Burnett. I'm your host, Al Hegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next week for episode 267.
Yes, sir.